Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today, as a part of our daily morning Srimad Bhagavatam program, we will be discussing from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 22. Chapter 22 of Canto 4 is titled as Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras. Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. Our specific focus will be on text number 28, which is written on the board. Atmanam Indriyartham cha.
Atmanam Indriyartham cha.
Atmanam Indriyartham cha.
Atmanam Indriyartham cha.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Satyasay upadhau vai.
Satyasay upadhau vai.
Satyasay upadhau vai.
Satyasay upadhau vai.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Atmanam indriyartham cha.
Atmanam indriyartham cha.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Satyasaya upadhau vai.
Satyasaya upadhau vai.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Atmanam indriyartham cha.
Atmanam indriyartham cha.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Param yat ubhayorapi.
Satyasaya upadhau vai.
Satyasaya upadhau vai.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Uman pashyati nanyada.
Atmanam.
Atmanam.
The soul.
The soul.
Indriya artham.
Indriya artham.
For sense gratification.
For sense gratification.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
And.
Param.
Param.
Transcendental.
Transcendental.
Yet.
Yet.
That.
That.
Ubhayo.
Ubhayo.
Both.
Both.
Api.
Api.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Sati.
Sati.
Being situated.
Being situated.
Asaye.
Asaye.
Material desires.
Material desires.
Upadho.
Upadho.
Designation.
Designation.
Why?
Why?
Certainly.
Certainly.
Uman.
Uman.
The person.
The person.
Pashyati.
Pashyati.
Sees.
Sees.
Na anyada.
Na anyada.
Not otherwise.
Not otherwise.
Translation. When the soul exists for sense gratification, when the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason, he becomes subjected to designations. For that reason, he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, but when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desires of the Lord. Being covered by material desires, A spirit soul is also considered to be covered by designations belonging to a particular type of body. Thus, he considers himself an animal, man, demigod, bird, beast, etc. In so many ways, he is influenced by false identification caused by false egotism. And being covered by illusory material desires, he distinguishes between matter and spirit. When one is devoid of such distinctions, there is no longer a difference between matter and spirit. At that time, the spirit is the only predominating factor. As long as one is covered by material desires, he thinks himself the master or the enjoyer. Thus, he acts for sense gratification and becomes subjected to material pangs, happiness and distress. But when one is freed from such a concept of life, he is no longer subjected to designations and he envisions everything as spiritual in connection with the Supreme Lord. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.255. Anashaktasya Vishayan Yathartam Upayunjataha Nirbanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Uchyate. The liberated person has no attachment for anything material or for sense gratification. He understands that everything is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, he does not give up anything. There is no question of renouncing anything because the Paramahamsa knows how to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Originally, everything is spiritual. Nothing is material. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela 8.274 also, it is explained that a Mahabhagwat, a highly advanced devotee, has no material vision. Sthavara jangama dekhe, na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra haya nija ishta deva spuruti. Although he sees trees, mountains and other living entities moving here and there, he sees all as the creation of the Supreme Lord and with reference to the context, sees only the creator and not the created. In other words, he no longer distinguishes between the created and the creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. This is oneness. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadatrisvapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangulam Ghayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalam Tadubhyascha Kripasindhu Yayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivatsadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Devim
Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Anujaya Pujiraye
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhagavati Uttama Shloke
Bhavati Naishtiki
Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Krishnaya Vasudevaya
Devaki Nandanaya Cha
Devaki Nandanaya Cha
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya
Param yat ubhayorapi satyasaya upadhovai uman pasyati nanyada. When the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires, and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But when one is in the transcendental position, he is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So this is 4:22-28. So before we begin the topic for today, which will center around the theme of designations, so upadhis. So this verse talks heavily around the theme of designations. What is incorrect designation? What is correct designation? How the Lord leads by His own personal example in teaching us what should be our designation. Some of Srila Prabhupada's instructions on this topic, and then we will conclude. So what is the context leading up to this verse? Maharaj Prithu, a great Rajarishi, is now the emperor. He has performed a great sacrifice in the previous chapter. He performed a great sacrifice. And after that sacrifice, he has been addressing his subjects. What has he been addressing his subjects on? How to lead a Krishna conscious life. How to organize their life to become Krishna conscious. So that is why he is called as Rajarishi. So he is not addressing them on Dharma, Artha and Kama. He is addressing them on how to conduct their lives such that at the end of this lifetime, then they will go back to Godhead. So this is the characteristic of a great leader. Undoubtedly, under the tutelage of his leadership, his subjects are greatly pleased. And they have now accepted him as a trustworthy and capable leader. So his subjects are very happy with him, and in that happiness they are glorifying him back. They are glorifying Prithu Maharaj back. As they are glorifying Prithu Maharaj, suddenly from somewhere four great personalities come to that place, and that is how this chapter begins. It is called as Prithu Maharaj's meeting with the Kumaras. From nowhere they come. These are the four Kumaras. When Prithu Maharaj sees these four Kumaras, the great Rajarishi that he leads by example. Immediately he receives them with great respect. And few minutes back, Prithu Maharaj was speaking Shastras to his subjects. But on seeing that these Kumaras have come, he considers them as senior to him, and he asks questions on the very same subject matter that he has been speaking to his subjects. Now this is humility. As if he doesn't know anything. So he asks the same subject matters on how to become Krishna conscious from these Brahmanas. So he is leading by example on how to deal with senior devotees. He is not continuing his lecture to his subjects in the presence of a senior devotee. If he does so, then it would become what is called as maryada vyatikram, superseding a senior authority. So when there is a senior person that is there around us, then we don't speak. Unless and otherwise there are exceptional situations that we can seek permission, and then we, if they instruct us specifically, then yes, it would be good. So he is setting a great example between Kshatriya Rajarishis and Brahmanas by his conduct. In verse 13 of this chapter, today we are in 28, and pretty much of whatever is there in this chapter are answers to certain questions that Ritu Maharaj has asked of the four Kumaras. So in verse 13, Ritu Maharaj asks that question. What is the question he asks? He asks, could such persons whose only aim is sense gratification, could such persons whose aim is only sense gratification, can such persons be blessed with any good fortune? Because their aim is only sense gratification. Can they ever have any good fortune? He is asking. Yet again, in verse 15, he is asking, how in this material world can we very soon achieve the ultimate goal of life? How in this material world can we very soon attain the ultimate goal of life? It's ironical. He just spoke this to all his subjects and now he's asking this question to the Kumaras. So, he is setting an example to us that in this journey of us as practicing devotees, we take counsel and we give counsel. If we don't give counsel, then we cannot spread the knowledge of this movement. If we only give counsel and don't take counsel, we will become proud. So therefore, it's an ongoing process. Take counsel, give counsel. Take counsel, give counsel. Then there is proper balance in our spiritual life. So he's leading by example. He's demonstrating that. He's asking these questions of the senior most of these four Kumaras, who is also addressed here as the senior most of the celibates, who is none other than Sanat Kumar. He is the senior most of the Kumaras. When Sanat Kumar sees this humble mood of Maharaj Prithu, he becomes very pleased with this mood of questioning, and he starts speaking or responding to these questions of Maharaj Prithu from verse 18. What happens up until now from verse 18? What is it that Sanat Kumara speaks to him in response to the questions asked by Maharaj Prithu? Number one, he congratulates Maharaj Prithu on this question. Pretty much similar to who congratulated? Deva Goswami also. Yeah, congratulating you. He says, Varyan Esate Prashna. And because this Prashna, I congratulate you on these questions because Krito Loka Hitam Nrapa. Because such questions are in the interest of welfare of all species of life. Loka Hitam. So, very similar way, in a very similar manner, Maharaj, Sanat Kumara is also congratulating Maharaj Prithu. He appreciates the humility of Maharaj Prithu in that he is asking these questions despite knowing the answers to these questions. Also, not only does he appreciate Maharaj Prithu, he appreciates all the devotees who are surrounding Maharaj Prithu, who are very eager to hear such topics. So the speaker is glorified. Here are glorified. Everyone is glorified. And then he starts answering this question from verse 20. So verse 19 is glorified. In verse 20 onwards, he says, the first thing he mentions is, and I'm not necessarily saying in a sequence, but I've just organized it in a different way. Of course, his Sanat Kumara is speaking very spontaneously. But if you see it in a sequence, he says that the ultimate goal or welfare of life is detachment from matter and attachment to Lord Krishna, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. So that is the ultimate goal of life. Detach from matter and get attached to Lord Krishna. Next he says, we have to avoid sin. We have to avoid sin. And he talks specifically about following the principle of ahimsa. Ahimsa is not only towards other human beings, but to all praja. Praja includes the animals as well. He emphasizes the four regulative principles. That is how we avoid sin. By following the four regulative principles, which essentially is nothing else but ahimsa, we avoid sin. But how do we avoid sin? Is also answered by him. How do we avoid sin? He says, by avoiding sinful association. Avoiding asat sang and tat sangi. Both. Asat sang and tat sangi. What is the difference between asat sang and tat sangi? There is a famous verse which we did few months back when we were doing the third canto, where Lord Kapila says, na tatascha bhave moho bandascha anya prasangatah yoshit sanga yatha punso yatha tat sangi sangatah. Out of all the attachment that we can have in this material world, the most dangerous attachment is the attachment which we have towards the opposite sex. But more dangerous than that attachment is the attachment to a man who is attached to the opposite sex. Because such a man, even though you want to practice Krishna consciousness, will encourage you and lead you there. So, not only do we avoid asat sang, false association, but we avoid association of those people who relish false association, because they will inspire us to take false association. So, don't follow false association. Don't follow the evangelists of false association. Both. So, asat sang and tat sangi. And then he says, such attachment, therefore, if you have towards that sangha, such false attachment and bondage is complete. You are finished if you do that. It's complete attachment and bondage. So don't do that. So he's cautioning everyone. And then he says, spiritual life, in order for someone to take spiritual life seriously, one has to be disgusted with material life. Till that time, thoda maza aa raha hai in material life. Little fun. Till that time, one cannot really take spiritual life seriously. Because material life is also giving you some nice time, good time, after all. Right? There are nice things. The external energy sometimes is sweet. So till that time, one is disgusted, then one cannot become serious. Disgusted with sense gratification. Now the question is, then how do we surmount, or how do we overcome our tendency to associate with non-devotees, asat sangi and tat sangi? So he says, by taking association of devotees. There is no other way. Only if you are in positive, through positive association, you can give up negative association. Prabhupada says, Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. We cannot artificially live by abstaining from these things. We have to take positivity and then overcome negativity. So he says, increase your association with devotees, increase attachment to Lord Krishna. Through association with devotees. And how to do that? By the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. That is what he prescribes to Sanat Kumar in his teachings to Maharaj Prithu and his subjects. Further he says, yes, just because you are doing Shravanam and Kirtanam, no, it's not good enough. You have to be also careful to avoid offenses. Yes, you have avoided sin by following four regulative principles, but have you avoided offenses? For example, you are doing everything correct, no meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, but a tendency to blaspheme devotees, is it still there within our heart? Do we have loving relationship with devotees? Do we have affection in our heart for every devotee? Not just abstaining from sin and following Charanam Kirtan, avoiding offenses. Then he says, simplify your life, simple living. Don't increase your material needs. And whatever lemons life gives you, make lemon juice, which means, this is what our who says that?
Charu
Maharaj. So increase Bhakti Vishramba Madhav Maharaj. He says this. When life gives you lemons, make lemon juice. Okay. Which means what? Increase your tolerance. Accept things as they come. Thinking that it is the will of Lord Krishna in your life. That is how Lord Krishna interferes in your life. Always he will not be giving us certificates of appreciation and excellence awards. Sometimes you will get slaps also. Right. So accept that. Be tolerant. So these are the instructions. And then he says, one who follows this process, the way it is prescribed now, such a person will attain nishtha. Nishtha means what? Unflinching faith. Shraddha is loose faith, nishtha is condensed or unflinching faith. For one who has reached nishtha, he says, for one who has reached nishtha and moved on from nishtha to asakti, which is the platform of attachment, all his lust and material contamination would have already disappeared from the core of the heart. For a person who has reached that stage of attachment to Lord. Then he says, just as a fire burns the wood which caused it, just as a fire burns the wood caused the fire. Because chingari kana dalam. Where did you put that? What is the chingari? What do you say, Father? English. Where did you commence the
spark, yes.
The spark. So, yes, the spark caused the fire, but ultimately without the wood, what can the spark do? Right. So, in one sense, just as a fire burns the wood which caused it, bhakti done with this material body will help us destroy this material body and get a spiritual body and escape the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. What is he saying? The wood caused the fire. Similarly, this body which caused your bondage, okay, use this body in the fire of Sankirtan movement and then this body itself can be dissolved. The body can be used to annihilate itself, the material aspect of the body. So, it's a very beautiful way he is speaking these verses. And then in yesterday's verse, where Surya Gopal Prabhu gave a very nice class yesterday, so it was mentioned. So, what does he mention? Yesterday's verse was about duality. Duality of soul and the super soul. And in yesterday's verse, it was mentioned by Sanat Kumar that duality of soul and super soul will now disappear. Does it mean that soul and super soul will merge? Ekatvam. What is it? Kaivalya Mukti. No. Why is there duality between soul and super soul today? Yes. On a physical level, soul is different and super soul is different. Yes. That is one duality. But this duality, when he says will disappear, it talks about the fact that the soul now is aligned with the instructions of Paramatma. So there are no two parallel tracks. There is only one track. And there is no duality. What the soul aspires is very similar to what the Paramatma is anyway saying. Right? So there is no duality. They are completely aligned. And then he says in yesterday's verse, when the dream is over, there is no distinction between the dream and the dreamer. And in today's verse, then Sanat Kumar continues by saying, when the soul exists for sense gratification, he creates different desires and for that reason he becomes subjected to designations. But one is in the transcendental position, is no longer interested in anything except fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So, in Jaiva Dharma, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur opens his discussion by saying the soul, any spirit soul has got a choice. They can aspire for bhukti, they can aspire for mukti, or they can aspire for bhakti. Three things. Bhukti, mukti or bhakti. Bhukti is what? Someone just wants sense gratification. This words. When the soul exists only for mukti or sense gratification. So, the behavior of each of these is different. And the way they adopt designations, which is the topic of today's verse, upadhis, is also dependent upon what goal they want. So, the designation we take is dependent on whether our goal is bhukti or mukti or bhakti. So, today's focus specifically, we will talk about all these three aspects, but let us first talk about the bhukti aspect, the material sense gratification, which is how this verse opens up. So, the entire cycle starts with the soul desiring to enjoy matter. Prabhupada writes, once upon a time we were all in the spiritual world and then we developed a desire. Can I not enjoy like Krishna? why is only he Krishna? Why can't I be a chota, small, like chota bhim, chota Krishna? That is how we aspire. So that is the origin. And that is in one sense called as bijam, the seed. The seed of this, the seed which, the thought which came in the mind, that can I not enjoy my senses? Why should I only work so hard for him to enjoy? I am the Bhokta. So, and what is that? In yesterday also we were discussing in our Bhakti Vaibhav class from divine and demonic nature. Bhagavad Gita 16, chapter 13 to 15. Ishvaro aham aham bhogi, siddho aham balavan sukhi. So that is the origin of, can I not be the Ishvara? Ishvaro aham is possible. Aham bhogi, can I be the Bhuktaram? So that is what it says, when the soul exists for sense gratification, then he creates different desires. The thought comes in mind, can I not enjoy? I was that day reading up some National Geographic, and there it was said that some species exist only to eat. When you talk about sense gratification, ultimately sense gratification is what? Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam. Some species exist only to eat. So it was mentioned that the blue whale almost eating, it's eating all the time. Full time, survival itself is to eat. What is the product? Annamaya kosh. Always thinking of, in Tamil we say, Anna vijaram, aduve vijaram. Always thinking of food all the time. And some exist only to sleep. Example is given of the koala. The koala, it is said, sleeps for 20 hours in a day. Prabhupada slept for the remaining 4 hours in a day and 20 hours for it. The koala is one example. The pure devotee is the other end. Right? So this is the basic desire of these jantus, jeev jantus. Okay. But humans have intelligence. So, now, these animals, these species, they have desire to enjoy sense gratification, but they don't know how to do it. So they only know eating and sleeping. But humans are very intelligent. We have invented many ways of enjoying our senses, using our intelligence. Now, it is mentioned that when you develop this desire for sense gratification, at that time you start getting into this designation. So, the thought of enjoying gives rise to a firm material desire. The thought of a firm material desire, you having decided, or we having decided to enjoy, we having focused on a specific material desire, we take up designations so that we can enjoy that material desire, which is what this verse is saying. Now, what is this designation? There are different aspects of dimensions of designation. So, it is mentioned, I was reading up somewhere, and it was mentioned that, especially in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that first, the human being gets his designation, derives his designation largely from land. So, the land first gets the designation, and then human beings who live in that land derive their designations from the land. First, who gets designation?
Land.
The land gets designation. For example, in the fifth canto, it is said that everything was called as Ilavrata Varsha. Then it became Bharata Varsha. And then it became India, Hindustan, and so on.
Right.
So, what is the truth? Now, even if you talk about Hindustan or India, today, and earlier, in the earlier days, Hindustan itself had everything. It had Bangladesh within it had Burma within it had Pakistan, East, West, everything was there, together called as India. Today, what is happening? Today, Burma is different. The land has got its own designation. Pakistan, the land has got another designation. Afghanistan has got land, has got another designation. Bangladesh has got another designation. And all of them are fighting with one another. Right? And the people who are born there, they say, they will say, ghar se ko hum Bharatiya, we are Indians. Say with pride, we are Indians and fight Pakistan. Pakistani on the other hand is thinking, you know, be proud that you are a Pakistani, kill the Indians. So this is what is going on. But where is the line which divides Pakistan and India? There is no such line. Even latitudes and longitudes are imaginary lines, which we studied in geography. Even our academic system has also taught, they are all imaginary lines. So there is no line which God has created. So this is called as upadhi. The land gets its upadhi, and then the people who are in that land think that I am this. Therefore, their whole life and activities are sometimes oriented with that particular designation, based on a line which does not exist. It is man-made. So this is the power of upadhis. However, even in this falsity, there is a falsity. Even in this upadhis, people are not true to their upadhis. At least you have to be firm on their upadhis. For example, I am Indian, I am Indian. Then suddenly what happens? Suddenly you decide, can I take Australia citizenship and be so, no. I take oath that I am an Australian citizen and all that. Okay. And then what is the... Okay, sorry, I shouldn't ask you. There's a national anthem was there of Australia. I don't know, sorry. But I'm also an Australian citizen. I'm one of those. Okay, so we come and take. Huh? And then when you go to India, then what do you say? Yeah, I have Australian citizenship. I'm not a PR. We are Australian citizens. And then we flaunt our passport and all that. But when it comes to the cricket match, you will support? Even if Australia is bad. So there is no honesty even in this upadhi. On one hand, when you go to India, you have to say, I am Australian passport. When you are in Australia, you are supporting Indian cricket team. Right? So there is a falsity in falsity. Upadhi on top of upadhi. Like, complete confusion. So, but there is, so what is the truth here in all this falsity? I want to enjoy. I want to feel good. Suppose someone is subject to some racism by his boss. And that person, let's say he comes from another country. Let's say Western country. Now you cannot tell your boss anything. So therefore what happens? You show your anger, you know, by supporting India. Come on! Beat them in the sport. But all this is coming from where? It's coming from the fact that I am important, my ego is important. That's why we think when India wins, we win. Where did we win? 11 players did something. Someone threw a ball. Someone hit with a bat. Someone won. Some 11 individuals won against some 11 individuals. But we think we have won because we identify with that. And that's why we become very emotional. Right? So, and now what is happening? Even now, the concept of India is also going on. Because there is something, even in cricket if you speak, there is IPL. Now people are saying Chennai, Super Kings. Now and then what is Rajasthan Royals, they will say. But if you see the Chennai Super Kings team, hardly anybody is from Chennai. Some West Indian is there who is playing Chennai Super Kings. And he is wearing a dhoti and he is dancing like a South Indian with a veshti on top. Like that. You see that dance? Somebody showed me on WhatsApp. I was thinking, hey, kya hua? This is ultimate. He is not even, he has nothing to do with South India. He is living in the West Indies, somewhere far off near United States. And then he is dressing up like a South Indian and he is dancing, you know, with his veshti up. Like that. So, ultimately, who is benefiting from all this? The franchisees are benefiting. Because their goal is not any loyalty towards, you know, India or to, you know, some state. They just want to make money. So they kind of, you know, say Chennai Super Kings ki jai. So this is how upadhis capture us. It has completely captivated this world. The leadership of this world, the famous personalities, they keep on administering these newer and newer and newer designations to us. And we completely drag us away from our single true designation, which is what? Jeevena Swarupe Hoy. And we get so many designations on top of each other. So, these designations, on one hand, this is one way of designation. Now, again, as this verse says, to enjoy in different ways, we need to exploit material energy. To enjoy, we need to know how to exploit material energy. So we need knowledge of how to exploit material energy. We need money, we need resources to do, and we also need the power to manipulate material energy in our own way. So therefore, sometimes people who want to manipulate the material energy, they seek power in their life so that they are able to then manipulate and enjoy. And that creates, again, different set of designations. So we have, for example, designation based on caste, we have designation based on sub-caste. Somebody will say, I am Gujarati. Then you say, ah, Gujarati. Lohana Gujarati? Or Kachi Gujarati, they will say. Okay, so then it will go further down. Like, okay. And then there is nationality. Then, which state are you from? Somebody will say. That is another designation you will have. Like I told, Chennai Super Kings. Okay, then it will, then designations are based on gender, designations are based on economic strata. Forbes. I'm from the Forbes. Don't you know I'm from the Forbes 500 fellow? Or popularity. I'm in the who's who. That is another designation. Who is who? Everybody is servant of Krishna. Don't you know I'm in the who? Now, these designations, and then in office we see designations. Somebody will introduce. That day we went to office. So people were being introduced. This person is associate vice president. This person is vice president. This person is general manager. He is executive vice president. Okay, so that is how people are introduced. And then that person is also standing like that. I am executive vice president. Right? So he is thinking like that and he is behaving like that. So many designations in office. So these designations come from which mode? The mode of
passion.
So mode of passion gives us designation. But mode of ignorance also gives designation. For example, I was reading the other day that there are a lot of gangs which are there in the world. I was googling on what are the top gangs in the world, being this topic of designations. How mode of ignorance. So I saw some 20 top gangs of the world. All of them are completely identifying with their gang. And they think the purpose of this life is to serve our gang and its ideology. So some of them were the Hell's Angels, and I have seen sometimes people on that bike. So they are very, very pakka. We may not be pakka devotees, but they are pakka Hell's Angels. They are very pakka in their ideology and serving the agenda of Hell's Angels. So they go around in bikes. We may not do that on Sankirtan movement to spread. As much as they go on bikes. Right? Our bus tour may not go that many kilometers. Okay. So Hell's Angels. They have one ideology. Then there is somebody who didn't like these people. So they formed their own group and called them as Mongols. Okay. And their only agenda is to defeat these people. Okay. So that is another identity coming from mode of ignorance. Then I read another one which is called as Aryan Brotherhood. Just imagine. Aryan Brotherhood. What is Aryan in Sanskrit? The wise. Aryan is one who is leading the whole society to Krishna consciousness. That is called as Aryan. But this is called as the Aryan Brotherhood. What is their goal of life? To get membership in this Aryan Brotherhood, you have to first go to jail. So you have to commit some sinful activity. And that's not enough for membership. That's only a necessary criteria. It's not sufficient criteria. When you go inside jail, you have to at least assault one co-prisoner or kill one co-prisoner. Oh. Then you get membership. Aryan Brotherhood. So, and their motto is blood in, blood out. That is the motto. This is another upani. Mode of ignorance. Okay. And then they can continue their membership. As long as blood in, blood out. So the whole world, in the absence of true designation, the modes of material nature is giving different designations to different individuals based upon what they want in their life. So these designations usually begin with me, aham mame, false ego, and then this designation sets up subsidiary companies who are serving the main parent company. What are those subsidiary companies? They are community, nation, society, caste, mandal. We call it as our caste ka mandal hai idhar chal raha hai. Our caste ka sang chal raha hai. Marathi mandal ko idhar hai idhar Melbourne mein. Right? Maharashtra mandal. So everything, or Tamil Sangam, where it is. So we will search for all these things. Extensions of our false ego. Now, even those people, so this is mode of ignorance, mode of passion. Now, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord also says, mode of goodness also people will worship demigods. Right? Lord says that. Now, how mode of goodness also captures us with designations. So, these followers, these people who are in mode of goodness, everyone is after bhakti. People in mode of goodness also can have bhakti. In fact, most of the mankind who is in mode of goodness is still wants bhakti only, but in the mode of goodness. Right. So, in India, if you see, you will see this trend. People are generally pious, but their piety is based on the state which they come from. If you ask someone, आम्ही जर महाराष्ट्राचे आहे, आपण महाराष्ट्राचे आहे, आय एम फ्रॉम महाराष्ट्र, आपण तो गणपती आहे. गणपती बाप्पा मोरिया, पुढच्या वर्षी लवकर या. विच मीन्स व्हॉट? आय एम फ्रॉम महाराष्ट्र. फॉर मी यू डोंट टेल कृष्णा इज सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड, फॉर मी इट इज गणपती. Somebody from Calcutta will say, I am a Bengali. For me it is Durga. Right? They will say like that. Okay. So the state gives them an affiliation with a demigod who is being worshipped in the state because of some past trend that is happening. And that affiliation is extremely strong. I was doing a program in my house when I was in annual leave last time when I visited India. I was doing some dental treatment with one dentist. Okay, so when I went to the dentist thing, you know, he had a big post photograph at the entrance of Goddess Durga, like that. So I told him, very nice. Obviously, we don't go and tell people, no, don't worship demigod. Hava janati ma mooda. So first, obviously, we see the commonality. At least he is having piety. He is considering some supreme authority. So all that happened and our friendship developed. Okay. Then he said, then somehow he came to know that I am giving some classes in that area where I am staying. So he said, can I come? I said, come. Because my classes used to start at 10 o'clock in the night. Because I was doing it for some Gujarati business community who can only come 10 o'clock after they shut their shop. Okay. So the classes used to go from 10 to 1 o'clock in the morning. So he said, I also want to come. I said, doctor, but dentist, come here. Tomorrow he will be operating on my tooth only. If he goes, those are there. But anyway. So I said, okay, come, please come. So he came to my house. And then, you know, initially everything was nice. You are the body, you are not the soul, everything. Fantastic. He said, oh, where did you learn all this? I said, yeah, Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada, everything was fine. Till one day we came to the point of what is that verse? Shishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chayeva Vivarti Durga Ichchana Rupa Abhi Sachate. It's the Govinda. Gone. Planned up. Finished. Satsang finished. He said, thank you very much. Sorry.
Thank you.
Jai Hind. Jai Hind Gaja. Jai Hind, he said. Not even Jai Durga. Not even Jai Hind. Yep, and then walked out. Again came back after some time. No, I don't accept. How can you say that Durga Devi conducts herself according to the Lord's will? How can you say she is conducting? I am worshipping Durga Devi since so many years. How can you call her as a servant? You know, that's the problem with it. Oh, dil pe le liya ekdam. So I thought that glass would have been on my face, you know, if I would have continued the class. then obviously I told him that, look, this is not that servant. Because usually when you say servant, what happens? It's like that, oh, that AK Angle comes in the, you know, all Bollywood film, Shah Chai Nidhi, sir. This is not that kind of servant. So people don't understand. Someone was a rocker. Usually our concept of servant is this, right? So, but this is not that. So I have to explain to him. But obviously, you know, he was not in any mood, and I didn't dare to go there after that. Because what if he shows up my tooth then? But then. So, this is how a good relationship can get destroyed. Of course, I should have also exercised more caution. I still take bottom line for the failure. Maybe, you know, I could have done it a little bit more. Maybe it was too early to quote the Shishti Sthiti Pralaya verse. It was a wrong time of quoting. But then, the point I'm saying is that so many designations. So, these look like it's something pious, but still it's a designation. What is that? It says that I love my thinking. Okay, my thinking is right. How dare you change my thinking? You know, so that is the problem. Okay. So much for bhakti. Now mukti. Now varnashrama dharma. What is the goal of varnashrama dharma? To gradually elevate us, right? From lower modes to the higher modes. And the true varnashrama dharma is what? Guna karma vibhagashrama. Not to develop identities as a brahmana kshatriya and then, you know, act only on those identities, but it is given that you can at least, if you want to have identities, let us structure your identity in this way for gradual elevation from mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness. From there, then you can take that as a platform to go to bhakti. So we all know that. However, people then start identifying, thinking that because I am born as a Brahmana, I am Brahmana. One Devamrita Maharaj's famous example is there. Maharaj says this, that one Brahmana boy, you know, went and had some illicit sex with some girl, okay, and then they went to the parents, you know, for permission for marriage, you know, and then Maharaj said that he was also there. And then, you know, when they were talking about marriage, the parents of the boy are saying, actually we are from Brahman family, so we cannot marry outside our caste. So Maharaj says, as if the son did a very highly Brahminical activity. So the activities are absolutely not in tune with our upadhi as a Brahmana. So if our activities are not in tune, then that Brahman becomes an upadhi. It becomes a false identification because you are not that. Therefore, that's a false identification. Though, in the purely if you see the tenets of Varnashram Dharma, Brahman, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra was ordained by the Lord Himself. So you can't call that as a mistake. But our identification with a false Varna is an upadhi, but it's something which is not. So it's a false identification. And then there are other reasons why people, you know, change. In India, what happens? We have what is called as a reservation system. If you get, you know, for example, I know that when I went into a school, B school, there are only 42 seats available for general category. Okay. And then we have the concept of reservations for some categories. You have to be a Buddhist or something like that, then you will get. So people who are high on the merit may still not get that seat, whereas people who don't have any merit are given admission. Okay, so this is going on. Now, for that reason, what is happening? Many Brahmanas are now converting into. I know one of my friends, he converted and he said, I am going to become a now Buddha. I said, why? You like Gautam Buddha or whatever? No, it has got nothing to do with it. I want admission. Right? So again, you are adopting a designation. Not because of any. You would adopt Buddhism if you love Gautam Buddha. But don't do it because, you know, just because you want to get admission. Why do you want to get admission? Because you want to make money at that time. So then you adopt identifications based on convenience, not based on any ideology. So that is what is going on. Another example is, you know, I have seen in my own you know, family, it happened that one of my cousins, he took to Islam. Okay, he changed his name also. Okay, now why did it happen? Externally, the reason was told to us that, you know, because he didn't get answers in Hinduism, and he saw that Hindus were not going to the temple, but Muslims were regularly doing namaz, so he was very impressed by their adherence to their faith. Okay. So I was also thinking, even I was thinking, I was very inspired. I said, wow, this is very good, because at that time I had not studied anything. I was also, you know, a pub goer. So for me it was something higher than going to pub. Okay, following something, right? So I was very enamored with this until I came to know that he changed primarily because he was in love with the Muslim. And then the parents said, nay, unless you convert, no chance. Did that. Okay. So now this is not some sudden affection he has for Prophet Muhammad and his teachings. This is again the desire for, I want something. I am in love with this woman. I want to be with her. Simple. So we don't know why somebody is connecting himself with some upadhi. Whether the reason is bhakti or. But usually you will see that if you go deep and deep, these designations have got only to do with. So therefore, these upadhis, they prevent us from affectionately dealing with one another. They prevent us from being genuine with one another. We put on this garb on us based on so many criteria, but we can't be natural with one another. And therefore, it is mentioned, sarva upadhi nirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. So Prabhupada is giving this example. Now, in bhakti also, so we talked about mukti, we talked about mukti from the point of Varnashrama Dharma's ability to take us to the point of mukti, but still getting caught up in Varnashrama for the wrong reasons. Right? Now, talking about bhakti, in the pursuit of pure bhakti, we can succumb to some designations that seem to be bhakti from outside. These designations are very subtle. Bhaar se dekhke lagta hai bhakti. If you look from outside, you will think it is bhakti, but it is not quite so. There is a gap. So, a devotee having who comes from all these designations, and once in Tehran, Prabhupada was lecturing, and then he said that it's okay if a devotee comes into the movement with designations. So, as an entry criteria, designations are acceptable in ISKCON. But it cannot be an exit criteria from the material world. When you exit, we have to sarvopadhi vinimuktam. We have to get rid of all these false identities we have. So, when a sadhaka comes to the temple, okay, he may come with so many designations. But one thing is good about that soul has decided to move away from sense gratification and go back to Godhead. However, as long as one does not become a pure devotee, okay, as long as one is Vaishnava Abhas, practicing devotee, or sadhaka, pure devotee, one is susceptible to these false designations even within the realm of devotional life. So there are a few things which sometimes some of you may have observed, I have observed. So, for example, even in spiritual communities, we seek people from our own state. Like somebody, I have seen a lot of examples of this. People come and ask, are there any Telugu speaking devotees here? Telugu devotees. Sir, why do you want Telugu devotees? Why? I'm your friend. I can also be your friend. Why you need Telugu or Tamil or Gujarati or something? Why you need that only for your devotional life? Though they can speak English. They can't speak English, I can understand. Right? So, then people will just communicate based on their own language and other affiliations, and they will not come out of the group. It's good as an initial entry point, but it can't be all the time like that. Okay? So, even after devotee, we struggle to come out of that. Another is designations based upon temple, ISKCON temple. Somebody comes and stays in Melbourne for many years, still says, I'm from that temple. Now that is not, and then what will happen? They will not come and mix with this congregation. They will keep their affiliation somewhere else only, all the time. Okay. So that is another example, but this is not something which is very good for the movement in general. All temples are established by ISKCON. And most spiritual masters, in fact all spiritual masters, pretty much sure everyone gives instruction, serve your local temple. So if we don't serve the local temple and our mind is somewhere else where we started, we should have affection, definitely. We should have loyalty, gratitude for where we started. But our services, the first priority must be towards our local temple. Our allegiance must be to the local authorities, not someone else. Because it is a local temple which is presently sustaining our spiritual life. So we have to have that much gratitude. Then, another upadhi, now this is a very dangerous one. Okay. I'm calling it as upadhi. It comes from my God family. Okay. Yes, God family is a beautiful concept. There is no doubt about that. Because the origin of that is comes from a pure devotee who is serving Srila Prabhupada, who has made his or her mission to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. But then, we are not talking about that level. They are not doing that. But we will do that. For example, I was shocked when some devotee that day came to me and said that in one particular place, not in Australia, somewhere else, in another country, one Mataji was attending a Bhakti Vriksha program very nicely. And then she was really seeking spiritual life. And then she was told, from now onwards, you cannot come to this Bhakti Vriksha program because you decided to get initiated by this spiritual master. Oh, and whereas here, this Bhakti Vriksha is about this spiritual master. I was appalled and shocked. This, if it continues, will divide his family tomorrow. We have to be very, very careful about that. We have to be very loyal, truthful to our Diksha Guru also. But we should not forget that Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. We should not forget the overarching ISKCON in the pursuit of God family. So we have to be very careful. In fact, I remember my own sister-in-law who lives in London. She was coming up so nicely in Krishna consciousness. So nicely. Until her Bhakti Vriksha leader sent a letter to her saying that, and I had an email which he forwarded to me, glorifying his spiritual master and blaspheming another spiritual master who is a very exalted personality in ISKCON, saying that you should not take initiation from this person. Now what I am trying to do here? just trying to promote your false ego, your agenda. Is this called as Guru Bhakti? Obviously not. This is an upadhi which comes in the garb. Actually, it is. People say, no, I am just loyal to my Guru and all that. But is this loyalty to Guru? This is nothing. This is absolute disloyalty to Guru, who is anyway not espousing this, and total disloyalty to Srila Prabhupada's institution. This will kill. Prabhupada said also, ISKCON cannot be attacked from outside. We can only kill each other from inside, like the Yadura entity. We are absolutely very strong as an institution. Because our ideology, our principles are coming directly from Lord Krishna, and nobody can defeat them. It is the purest of Sanatana Dharma religion. But we can kill from, because of our internal upadhis and infighting. Then, another upadhi which I have seen is, like for example, when I was doing this programs in India, some people, you know, when you preach, then some people start getting, you know, very attached to you. Because people generally get attached to their Bhakti Vriksha, you know, facilitators. So, when we came to the point of one must vidhi pranipadena paripashtana sevaya, take diksha in a bona fide sampradaya and all that. These people sometimes ask you questions. You know, we never knew all these things. Body, soul, philosophy, this is so nice we are feeling after hearing from you. Where did you, can we take diksha from you? They will ask you. And then obviously it's a very embarrassing thing. But then you say, no, not like that. Abhi mera bhi band baja hua hai. Still struggling. I'm translating in English. So I cannot be that person. But definitely then you explain to them this. Then they will ask you the question. Who's your spiritual master? And then when you say your spiritual master is not an Indian, neither your Diksha Guru is an Indian, neither your Siksha Guru who taught me Srimad Bhagavatam, that person is Kesha Prabhu, he is Australian. Then they start thinking, but why Australian Guru? Why American Guru? It's better. No, Indians are better than that. So, sometimes after hearing all the philosophy, they will tell this. Right? So, Guru has nothing to do with Indian or Australian or American. A person who serves the movement, what is the criteria for a Guru? Nectar of instruction, Rupa Goswami outlines. Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam. Nowhere it is said India Vegam, Gujarat Vegam. Nowhere it is said like that. Nothing like that. Of course, I'm assuming Gujarat many guys don't pardon me, but it's the same thing. It can be anything. Karnataka Vegam. So nowhere it is mentioned, or Australia Vegam. Nowhere it is mentioned anything like that. The criteria of the state of mind, the consciousness of the living being, the maturity of the living being, that decides whether the person is a guru or not. So some people then are so hung up with this Indian thing, they said, no, we have only Indians can be guru. And you've seen on the internet, early days I used to read, people blaspheming our movement, saying that, ISKCON is having too much of, Western gurus and this and that. Obviously they don't understand. Nobody has understood the core philosophy. That's why Prabhupada, we are very thankful to Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave us the basics very nicely. And Prabhupada said, don't jump to higher things without having clear understanding of the basics. So, Srila Prabhupada himself gave a lot of instructions. By serving Lord Krishna together, whether we be Indians or whether we be Australians, whether we are Germans, Chinese, whoever, by serving this movement together, then we will start appreciating. In the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, come together and serve as one unit. Keep your designations aside, and by doing that, gradually we will overcome these designations and we will not commit Vaishnava offenses owing to these designations. Lord Krishna himself teaches us how to overcome these designations by his personal example. I was studying something very interesting from the 10th canto. I will share with you. And we will end in 5 minutes. So, this is the Rajasuya sacrifice. In the Rajasuya sacrifice which Maharaj Yudhishthira did, now who is Lord Krishna? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, he should have designation. Because he is the person who is the origin of all designations. And he is the designated, supremely designated authority. Who is Lord Krishna? The cause of all causes, the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer, and the supreme proprietor. He is everything. Right? But see what he is doing here. In the Rajasuya sacrifice, where Maharaj Yudhishthira, Why has he called the sacrifice Maharaj Yudhishthira? Why? What was the purpose of the Rajasthira sacrifice? To establish Lord Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead in front of the who's who of the world. So he called everyone. All the glitterati was there in one sense. The greatest of great sages, the greatest of greatest logicians, the greatest of greatest musicians, the greatest of greatest demigods, everybody was there in that forum. And Maharaj Yudhishthira had only one agenda. To present, to establish Lord Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead amidst all of them. And then make him and give him that Agra Puja benefit, which is the highest worship, establish him. That was his goal. Which is the goal of preaching also. Sankirtan movement goal is what? To establish Lord Krishna as the supreme personality of God. So Rajasuya sacrifice is not different. Now, in this Rajasuya sacrifice, obviously, you know, so many people have come. So you can imagine the kind of coordination and efforts that it will take. For a Janmashtami festival, you can see what kind of effort it takes. Just imagine for the Rajasuya sacrifice what it will be at such a scale. It is said duties were divided. Bhima was in charge of which service?
Kitchen.
Kitchen service. Duryodhan was in charge of treasury. It may sound a little bit ironical, but yes. So that Duryodhan, Lord wanted to expedite the battle of Kurukshetra. He said, "Dekho kitna paisa aa raha hai. Jaldi karo. Expedite the war out of your enemy." So Duryodhan was made in charge of treasury. Sahadev was made in charge of reception. Okay. Nakul was made in charge of purchasing department. Arjun was given the responsibility of inviting all the elders, Varishta Vaishnavas. Arjun was given the responsibility. Draupadi was given responsibility for the serving the food. Okay. Karna was given the responsibility of giving gifts to everyone because he is Danavir Karna. So what a nice arrangement. And what was Lord Krishna's responsibility? Any guesses? To wash the feet of everyone who comes. And who is this person? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cause of all causes. He is giving up his true designation anyway. And we are not willing to give up our false designation. So Lord is leading by example. Yet another example is Sudama. When Lord sees Sudama like a beggar, even the Yadu dynasty and the gatekeepers are bewildered. His looks are being termed by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as Adham. Adham means what? Wretched, poor. Adham. He's coming in a very dirty cloth like that. You know, usually people run away from such a person. He's coming like that. But he's coming in that dress, and then Lord Krishna, when he's sitting in Rukmini, along with Rukmini, in Rukmini's palace in the court, when he sees him, Lord Krishna just doesn't even no time to wear slippers also. He runs and then hugs him, brings him inside, does aarti, washes his lotus feet and sprinkles that water on his head. Okay. This is the supreme personality of Godhead. Who can have upadis, but who is not. He is teaching us by leading by example. Right? Srila Prabhupada, I will end with this quote. Srila Prabhupada says about designations. So, this life should be utilized for purifying ourselves from such designations, false designations. If you keep the designation, then there is no possibility of purification. So if you want purification, give up designation. Decide what you want. You will get another designation. If you don't purify yourself, what will happen? You will get another designation in the next lifetime. So our Krishna consciousness movement means to educate people how to become free from designations. Seekers may come with a designation and we accept those designations. Entry criteria into ISKCON, okay. But if he lives with us, if such a person with designation lives in ISKCON, within the Sadhu Sangha, and follows the rules and regulations, eventually he will become free from all designations. Designation inhibits freedom. What freedom? Freedom to deal affectionately with one another. Designationless status, Prabhupada says, is called as Brahma Bhuta. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na Sochati na Kakshati. What is the Brahma Bhuta platform? The platform where you have no designation. And the only designation is what? I will still be there. Because I is I. The concept of I will still be there. Not like the Mayavadi who says, I will not be there. I will still be there. But what is true designation? I am Krishna's. And Krishna is mine. And Krishna's. So that is called as Brahma Bhuta, which is Prabhupada says is opposite of Jiva Bhuta. Jiva Buddha means what? I am Krishna. The real ego is what? I am Krishna, apostrophe S, Krishna's. And then Prabhupada says, Yukta Vairagya. Prabhupada says, a practical way of burning these designations. These designations can also be used in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada gives Yukta Vairagya. This is also mentioned in today's Bhagavad. What's a simple example of Yukta Vairagya? If you are hardcore Tamilian Ayyar, for example, if you are saying, no, I am from Tamil Nadu, South India, I am Ayyar, then use that designation to bring another Tamil Nadu Ayyar into Krishna consciousness. Ingalum Ayyara, Nanum Ayyar. Hello, Ayyar, Ayyar, friend. Then bring the fellow into Krishna consciousness and then tell him you are not Ayyar. Or you say, Tame pan Gujarati cho, open Gujarati cho. Use that and bring people into Krishna consciousness. You also support Delhi Daredevils. Even if you don't support me, I also support Delhi in the IPL. And bring them into Kunjimi Bolo, Lake Kavali. To tell whatever designation you want, but use that designation to bring people in Lord Chaitanya's proper movement. In when you do that is Yukta Vairagya. You are using this designation very intelligently to bring people into the movement. So that is our general Sambham Bonam of today's conversation. So I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments.
What is the distinction of then Kanishta Madhyama Uttama? Is this a designation or is it, what do we use this for then?
Kanishta Madhyama Uttama is not a designation. It is more of a classification of devotees based upon two criteria. The criteria of faith and the criteria of knowledge. It's not a designation. Of course, it is nice to always designate ourselves as Kanishta Adhikaris. Never think that now you know I am Uttama. We have become Madhyama now. So it is always good. The higher one goes. Actually, Uttama Adhikari always thinks of himself as a Kanishta Adhikari. That's why the Uttama Adhikari doesn't preach. Because Uttama Adhikari thinks, what is my qualification to preach? Therefore, he has to come to the platform of Madhyama Adhikari to preach. Okay? Any other? Pardon?
They
are
asking, is it your temple?
Is it your temple? Yes, it is very much our temple. Yes. Krishna is ours. The temple is ours. Everybody may agree about that, no? This is not only, it is your temple, my temple,
your temple. It feels like it's you do something, it's like your temple. It's not anybody's temple.
Tell them that it's not only me who goes to the temple. It's only people come to the temple.
Maybe there are temples like somebody.
So if they ask you your temple, why do you think they are asking you the question?
They say that some people they run like their temple, like come to, like they say they think that few people are
only
the temple or something like that.
Okay, so generally, you know, sometimes people perceive this as a cult. It's not a cult. So we are not a cult or something like that. So, who come together for some, you know, clandestine purpose. And it's not something like that. So in fact, the whole idea of ISKCON is not cult. Cult means, you know, you form small groups. The whole idea, the mission of ISKCON is what? To go out and give this Krishna consciousness all over the world. And anybody is welcome. Prabhupada said, anybody is welcome. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself said, nobody is debarred from coming to bhakti. Even if they are dog eaters, pig eaters, no problem. Anyone can come and join the Sankirtan movement. Caste, gender, nothing matters. Food preferences, nothing matters. So please boldly tell your friend that this center is open for everyone and anyone. And if they don't believe you, then give them Srila Prabhupada's Your Ever Well Wisher, Prabhupada's biography, Your Ever Well Wisher or Leelamrita. They will read for themselves the kind of people that Prabhupada used to preach to. Prabhupada did not go and say, no, I am going to do a program for the executives of, you know, America, for the corporate executives. No. He went and gave association to the most fallen of the fallen, who were on drugs. Half the time they were solid and on LSD. Right? So Prabhupada gave. So if those people are allowed, why? No, that means everyone is allowed. Right?
My understanding of scripture is very limited, but aren't there upadhis also in spiritual world? Then why is it necessary for us to get rid of them before we even try to think about it?
Yeah, so are there upadhis in the spiritual world? In spiritual world, there is only one identity. Everyone identifies as servant of Lord Krishna. That is the only one designation everyone has. And that is a true designation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jeevara Swarupa Vai Krishnera Nityadas. That is our dharma. Our dharma, the nature, the intrinsic religion of a soul, the nature of a soul is to always serve the Supreme Soul. Okay? So that is our dharma. So that is the first part of your question. What is the second question? Yes? That's all?
So I was like, if there are designations, like some certain duties, other duties for Krishna.
Duties are different and designations are different. Okay. For example, cooking for Krishna is a duty, but the moment you say, I am the head cook here, how dare you? That is a designation. Does it make sense? Cooking for Krishna is a duty. Or I am the head. So sometimes, you know, that's why people like us, difficult to go back to Godhead, because someone said the other day, when we go back to Godhead, we will ruin this mood there also, with our designations. I'm talking about myself. Because we carry all this, we want to be called as head something, coordinator, manager. So these things are not there in the spiritual world. Everyone is servant. Incidentally, what happens is there are people who are head. For example, Lalita is Sakhi is the head of all the Sakhis. But you will never find everyone saying that, you know, she has been Sakhi for the last 10 years, head Sakhi, you know, can I not now also? It's a democratic process. So no one is thinking like that. We cannot enter the spiritual world till we are rid of that. So unless and otherwise, we think that we are the lowest and every other devotee is higher than us, we cannot go back to the spiritual world. Even if we think we are higher to one devotee in this material world, we are not going back, definitely. So therefore, there is no chance of that happening in the spiritual world, because everyone is thinking I am the lowest. And Radharani herself is also thinking I am lower than others. So she is also thinking that I want to serve everyone. And Krishna, we saw. Krishna is washing the feet of Sudama and then taking, and he's glorifying the Brahmanas. Think that you people are great. And I am also surviving like that. Your affection is what is keeping me going, he's saying. So now, this is our Lord. So where is the question of our designations? There's no designation. Okay, it's 9:15, so I'll stop here. Any other questions we can take offline? Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai!
Jai. Jai.